Hal Roach, the famous Irish comedian, he tells the interesting story of a miser who went up to heaven. He went to the pearly gates and he rang the bell. And St. Peter responded. St. Peter said, "Good morning. How can I help you?" And the miser said, "St. Peter, I've led a very virtuous life and I've come to claim my heavenly reward." And St. Peter said, "Can you tell me one good deed that you have done?" And the miser said, "Yes, I've given $3 in charity, one to the St. Vincent de Paul, one to the Red Shield Appeal, and one to the Anti-Cancer Foundation." And St. Peter said, "$3 and you want heaven?" He said, "Yes, that's true." So St. Peter said, "Let me check." So he called the Archangel Gabriel, who was the divine bursar, Gabriel bought the heavenly ledger. And he said, "Could you check on this guy? He says he's given $3 in charity." And so St. Gabriel looked through it and he said, "Yes, that's true. He's given $3 in charity, one to the St. Vincent de Paul, one to the Red Shield Appeal, and one to the Anti-Cancer Foundation." And St. Peter said, "For just $3, this guy wants heaven. Tell me, Gabriel, what do you suggest?" And Gabriel said, "I suggest that you give him his $3 and tell him to go to hell." So the moral of the story is $3 won't get you into heaven. My dear brothers and sisters, today we are reflecting on Jesus' inaugural address, where he said, "Let your light shine before people, that seeing your good works, they give praise to our Father in heaven." As is well known, every American president commences his term in office with an inaugural address, in which he clearly, eloquently, and emphatically spells out his policies, his objectives, and his strategies, with the hope that he can grip the attention of the entire nation, inject both hope and optimism, and rally their staunch support and willing collaboration in achieving the stated objectives. He wants the people to know that they are to work with him in achieving his goals and objectives. In 1933, for instance, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, he buoyed the spirit of the dispirited American people with words that have become unforgettable. He said, "This great nation will endure. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." In 1961, John Fitzgerald Kennedy threw a challenge that has become a memorable classic. He said, "And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country." In 1985, Ronald Reagan, he injected a new hope in the dejected nation with these uplifting words. He said, "Hopeful, big-hearted, daring. That's our song." And in the recent past, President Barack Obama, he roused a very depressed and anxious nation with the resounding clarion call, "Yes, we can do it." Today's gospel relates the inaugural address of the greatest leader this world has ever known, Christ Jesus, the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of the world. The people of his time were hopeful, expectant, and eager, and Christ Jesus did not disappoint them. With heartwarming candor, indisputable authority, captivating eloquence, and exceptional charisma, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free." So Jesus wanted people to know that he had come on a mission with a very, very important message. He had come to set them free and to deliver them from sin and death. The people listened with rapt attention to Jesus as they both literally and figuratively they held onto his lips. With nostalgia, they could recollect what Ezra had once said, "Today is holy to the Lord your God. Do not be sad, do not weep." Their joy truly knew no bounds as they felt a surge, a new surge of hope and optimism, thanks to Christ Jesus. Said Christ Jesus, "I've come so that my own joy may be in you and your joy be complete." However, as is well known, the inaugural address of a president is but a blueprint that needs to be progressively and consistently implemented by one and all if the nation as a whole is to enjoy the promised benefits. We cannot walk alone. We journey together as a community and as a nation. In other words, there is need for the personal investment of each and every one. The greater the involvement, the more favorable will be the results. And this is what St. Paul reminds us in the second reading. With Christ Jesus, we form one body and so share the joint responsibility of making the dreams of Christ Jesus come true. Of the many things that Jesus did share, one has made an extraordinary special impact on me, and I share it with you. Jesus said, "Let your light shine before people, that seeing your good works, they give praise to our Father in heaven." Jesus is dependent on you and me. I never tire of repeating that we are not in this first quarter of the 21st century by accident, but by God's deliberate design. Jesus has a mission that can be fulfilled only by you and me working in collaboration with Jesus. In other words, Jesus would have us know that every time we do a good deed to another, no matter how small, truly sharing the good news with others and presenting the human face of God. As the saying goes, actions always speak louder than words. Over the past 20 centuries, the Catholic Church has always been in the forefront of all fields of education, medicine, social service, and philanthropy. As Father Dave has said so very rightly in his letter, Catholic hospitals today are the largest private healthcare system in the United States, and Catholic schools are the largest private educational system. The Church worldwide operates more than 140,000 schools, 10,000 orphanages, 5,000 hospitals, and some 16,000 other health clinics, making the Catholic Church the biggest aid agency in the world. Christ Jesus is very much at work in and through these agencies. All of this is provided entirely by donations from the people like yourself. You can be proud to be a part of this amazing worldwide outreach. You have helped to make great things happen. My dear brothers and sisters, about the middle of the last century, communism was very oppressive in China. They were very much against the Catholic Church and the Catholic missionaries. And yet, the Catholic missionaries were forefront in the social aid services of the Church. There was, I understand, in one place, a leprosarium that was tended to by religious sisters. As we know from our reading and viewing, a leper paints a very, very sad state. The poor individual is literally a living or walking dead person. And it's a very repulsive sight. So working with lepers is a very heroic job. And these lepers were being cared for by these religious sisters with great devotion, with great cheer, and with sense of selfless commitment. On one occasion, a journalist wanted to interview the religious superior. He was an atheist, he was a communist, he was anti-church, anti-God and anti-religious. He did everything to destroy the church. So one day he presented him at the leprosarium and he said to the superior, "Can I please walk around and observe what you are doing?" And the superior said, "You are very, very welcome. Just feel free. Walk around, do what you please." And this atheist journalist, he walked around and he couldn't believe his eyes. Those religious sisters were nursing those patients as though they were the most lovable in the entire world. They didn't complain. They didn't criticize. They did their job with great cheerfulness. This atheistic journalist was so intrigued that he went up to one sister and said, "Sister, can I have a brief word with you?" And the sister said, "Most willingly." And he said, "Sister, I wouldn't do this job even if you gave me $1 million. And the sister merely smiled and said, "Neither would I, sir." And she walked away, cheerfully attending the next patient. Reporters tell us that that atheistic journalist, he stood there, transfixed to the ground, absolutely astounded at what he heard. "Neither would I, sir." So that religious sister was working not for money, but for the sheer joy of serving Christ in the suffering lepers. "Neither would I, sir." Reporters tell us that that atheistic communist, a communistic journalist, he stood there and he said to the superior, "I want to become a Catholic. I now believe in God. If you can make the love of God a tangible reality to these individuals, the least and the most contemptible in society, that religion is true. And I will want to embrace that religion, and I want to belong to the Catholic Church." He was converted in an instant. Because the religious sisters very, very emphatically conveyed one truth, that the love of God is best proved in the love and service of people. And so, dear friends, as we honor Christ Jesus, our Commander-in-Chief, how I wish that each and every one of us could make the inspiring motto of Andrew Grillet our very own. "I shall pass through this world but once. Any good that I can do, any kindness that I can show, any service that I can render to another human being, I shall do it now and not defer it, for I shall not pass by this way again."